Welcome to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, April 5th, 2003. It's 3 p.m., and we're going to continue for an hour till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, continue that also by telephone afterwards on a conference call. But the LaRouche Show today has a very important transatlantic focus. We have important guests. My own name is Marcia Mary Baker, and I will be your host. I'm the economics co-editor for Executive Intelligence Review News Service, and all of our guests today are with us live by telephone from Europe and from the United States. And our topic is going to be, they are going to be reporting and discussing among themselves and answering any emails or questions about what kind of actions they are leading and that Lyndon LaRouche is conducting and associates around the world to stop the war hawk madness and get on with the business we ought to be taking up of reconstructing the collapsing world economy. Now, I'm going to give, because it's exciting, a short roll call, a kind of roster, so you know who's on and from what country. And then I'll say a few things, and we will turn it right over to the first-hand reports on the organizing situation in Europe, the United States, and elsewhere. Let me say hello to Elodie Vianot in Paris, France. Are you there, Elodie?
Yes, hi.
And from Berlin, we have Aaron Reagan. Hi.
Hello.
In Dresden, we have Tomas Rothmeier.
Hello.
And we come back to the United States, where some people have just returned from Europe or otherwise talking. Philadelphia, we have Abdul Ali Muhammad.
Hello.
And in out west, in Houston, Texas, Sam Dixon.
Hello.
And in Seattle, Rachel.
Hello.
So you see everyone hearing live or hearing on short wave with a time delay or on the conference call what kind of powerful discussion we're going to have. What I want to say right at the beginning, some people will want to know what's Lyndon LaRouche up to with the war, with the economy, and so forth. Let me just confirm he remains in Europe very busy. You know that 2 weeks ago he was participating with hundreds of people in a conference in the spa town of Bad Schwalbach on the topic. The conference was How to Reconstruct a Bankrupt World. Now, there were 45 nations represented there. LaRouche's wife, Helga Zepp LaRouche, gave a summary picture of the way to ultimately find a way out of war through a Eurasian Union of great development projects. And the conference also concluded with a panel of presentations by the youth leaders there. There were 120 youth, I think, in the contingent of the International LaRouche Youth Movement organizers. And I think they were addressing fundamentals of how to grasp the truth and the denial and have courage to do what we ought to. They can speak for themselves. But the one thing I want everyone listening to know is that, as you know, the war is going on, what is it, the 17th day in Iraq. And among the things LaRouche has been doing is he has finished writing a piece that we hear today is now posted on his website for his campaign. You can find that yourself, but it's www.larouche2004.com. Now, the title of this important strategic piece is called Rumsfeld as Strangelove 2, or the full title, Insanity as Geometry, Rumsfeld as Strangelove 2. We've seen in the last 10 days, certainly since the last the LaRouche Show, that even major top brass in U.S. military are coming out criticizing the whole insanity of having gone to war in the Mideast in Iraq in the first place, having done it with these crazy lean, mean, utopian kind of limited forces. And I mean top brass speaking out include like retired General McCaffrey, General Hoar. Just a few hours ago in the United States, Major General Nash, who was involved in Desert Storm years ago, he criticize what he called the Rumsfeld Doctrine. So thanks to months and months, years maybe, but certainly over the last year, of LaRouche himself and associates identifying, we got a bunch of chicken hawk crazies that have infested policy in the U.S. We are seeing that there are forces gathering that could enable us to make a turn in history and lead the way out of this mess. I'll tell you one other thing. LaRouche himself has done a lot of radio recently. He was on BBC in London on Thursday. That's April 3rd in their early morning show, Live 5. I think you'll find that on his website. And here in the U.S., his campaign has been running radio spots in Washington, D.C. All week. And LaRouche himself was interviewed on Pacifica Radio. So he's doing what he can. And many of the youth on this panel, and also those in different parts of the world, have been leading the charge, and they're really the clincher to enforce the truth and the way in which we can get out of this situation. So I will say again that you're listening to the LaRouche Show live every week on Saturdays, 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoons Eastern Time. And in a little while, I'll break in at different times to give details on where to call any time during the week or at any time for information. If you're in the United States, it's toll-free 1-888-347-3258. And those of you on live internet, if you want to send us an email, you see there on your screen how, and ask questions, go right ahead. But now, I want to start in Europe, and we're going to go to France first. Here in the United States, you've had crazy denigrations of France. Instead of French fries or French toast, freedom toast, we won't repeat that kind of BS. But let's get a report on what's been going on from Elodie in Paris. What's been happening?
Well, here we're basically developing the youth movement in three different cities in France. And what you're looking at is a completely open situation, because people that we meet in the street nowadays are literally hysterical. They're extremely scared, and LaRouche is the only hope for Europe, because he's got the economics plan, because he's got the courage to take on the challenge. Dispatch Fabar conference you referenced, he was very clear. We ought to stop this war, otherwise we're gone. And, I mean, the point is the Eurasian land bridge is taking shape. And right now we are rallying around LaRouche, behind LaRouche, and we're going to send people. All of us were going to go to the United States for the 2004 presidential campaign, and we intend to make him president. Because the point is, right now we're going on the campuses where all of these teachers are really absolutely not honest, where you've got a bunch of students hanging around, you know, going to anti-war demonstrations. Nothing's happening. So here we've got somebody who's the most honest person in the world, who's challenging us to shape history, challenging us to know what the truth is, and challenge what we think is sense perception. Because the point that we see right now is that there is a complete uncertainty on what the world will look like, even in the near future. And I've seen older people of my grandparents' age seeing hope, because they see that the youth movement could actually build a really, really good future. But that means we've got to stop this war, and we got to get the new Bretton Woods together.
Elodie, let me ask you, I've seen photographs from, I think it was Germany, where there were maps put down on the sidewalk, on the pavement, and used to show people what's going on about the Eurasian land bridge. Is this true? Is this how we're doing it?
Well, I know we're hanging some on the trees that surround our book table.
And is it the case you're finding response among these big demonstrations or on campuses, just wherever people are?
Well, it depends. For instance, in Rennes, where I actually live, what we're doing is, I mean, we're facing huge resistance from the a little leftist group who are actually trying to, they come and circle us every single day. We're out and on the streets and on the campuses. They surround us with about 15 people to tell us to leave, to get out of there. Otherwise, they're going to take care of us. They try to be as threatening as they can. And because the thing is, our enemy is completely freaked out right now. So that's the if you were to look at the most striking response, that would be what it is. On the other hand, we've got a lot of students who are completely disoriented, and who some of them are really ready to lose it, to go crazy. So this is a very, very non-typical situation.
So it's very intense.
Yes.
Here in the United States, Rachel, in Seattle or anywhere the big demonstrations here, is it? Do you find, what's your view of this?
Honestly, we don't really have any big demonstrations in Seattle. After the first day, it really died out. Last week we were downtown, and the anti-war movement of that day was about 35 old people and a few young girls wandering around making noise. So basically, people here, like you said, are totally going insane too. I've spoken to a few young students on the phone that are saying like the same thing, that I know that I have my own universe, and then I know that there's this other universe right now, and that it's not the real one. So they're trying to associate themselves with something that's real, and so then they're really excited when we talk to them about ideas and that there's such a thing as truth.
Right. In Germany, Aaron, you're right in the middle of everything in Berlin, right?
Yes. Well, not only in Berlin, but this demonstration that we had in Leipzig is with Amelia Boynton Robinson in front of approximately 60,000 people.
Can you tell us the date and time in it? Because that's a big has big history, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Thomas actually should go into that in more detail, which you know he can give you the details on this. This was do you remember the exact date?
Yeah, March 31st, Thomas.
Yeah, it was March 31st.
Yes,
but what
was.
I was just going to say as a comment on that very quick is that what breakthrough this is for Germany and also the international situation is that this shows the potential of what the international situation has and how it's affecting the minds of the leadership within this country. Because over the past, I would say specifically between 6 and 8 months, you've had various breakthroughs where people have, from the low level, not low level, but the basic level, the population, through the trade unions, through the parliament, and high levels within the shorter circles themselves, you've had a response to what we are doing on an international scale. And what was demonstrated in Leipzig is that it's perfectly, we are perfectly capable at this point with a fraction of the young people that we have in the United States to really take over this country in the next couple of weeks as the crisis deepens. Because as we know from the example that that we had in Washington, D.C., where the head of the CDU, Angela Merkel, came to support what Bush and the Chicken Hawks were doing. She was viciously slandered by another member of the CDU who had also visited Washington. And he had come back and actually said that, referring to Lynn's statement of Hitler in the bunker, he had referred to the Chicken Hawks in Washington, D.C., and also Bush himself as to the bunker mentality.
Right. And that was some weeks ago, right? So
exactly.
And the breakthroughs you were referring to, the sequence, you mean some of you on the phone were, I think, in Germany, well, obviously, Thomas, mm-hmm. in the last year where you ran campaigns. Helga Zeppler-Rusch ran for led the campaign and culminating in Chancellor Schroeder coming out to refuse to go along with the war hawks in the United States, right? And that was one of the key breakthroughs. Do you want to talk about what happened on last Monday night then in Leipzig, this very dramatic event, Thomas?
Yeah, I'd like to very much, because this was really a very great thing, and Amelia was really great this Monday.
Let me just identify Amelia Boynton Robinson. For those, we think everyone knows her, and and they do, I think, billions of people. She is a leader of the Schiller Institute internationally, along with Helga Zepp-LaRouche, and she's from Tuskegee, Alabama. She is the mother of the civil rights movement here. Go right ahead, Thomas.
Okay. Yeah, Amelia was invited by this priest, Christian Führer, who initiated this peace prayers in Dresden 20 years ago. And these peace prayers and this Monday demonstrations, this historic Monday demonstrations, were a crucial factor in the year 89 when the wall came down. These demonstrations built up from week to week, where all the people come to the Nikolai Church in Dresden and gathered after the peace prayers before the church and went peacefully through the city to demonstrate against the city and to be able to get out of the country. And so they have this peace prayers every Monday since 1982, and always if there's something special going on in the world, there are crises or where the people need the hope of the church, these demonstrations can be revived. And this is exactly what we see right now in this crisis of this Iraq war and of this economic collapse, that you see the people coming out and showing their opposition against this imperial policy. And we were in contact for several weeks with this priest, Führer, and we wrote him letters and sent him faxes from Emilia, and he finally invited her because he admires very much Dr. Martin Luther King, and he studied a lot about this part of history, because it was a similar situation in 89 and in the 60s. This priest, he gave an interview in the 90s where he said the same spirit of non-violence that was with the people in the 60s with Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, the same environment is what they had 89. And so he was very happy to have Amelia on this stage, and so it was a real continuation of world history to have Amelia here speaking in front of 40,000 people, telling the people that there is a man in the USA that represents a new America, the other America, and picks up the dream of Martin Luther King that broke when he was assassinated, and he's fighting for a better world and continues the dream of freedom and justice in the world. And so this was a real big impact all over Germany, because it was broadcasted over several radio stations and TV stations, and it was really a big impact. So we're really happy about that event in Germany. And we were organizing the last days in Leipzig, and it feels like that there is a complete change geometry. So many people heard about the event and read something in the newspaper and come to our book table and want to know who LaRouche is and what he's standing for. And it's people are interested. People are concerned about the situation, and they see that there is hope. Also, the people at the demonstration, it was a complete changed environment of hope, because Emilia said there is somebody who knows what to do, and she gave the people hope, and that's a great thing.
That's great. And do you think, will the Monday demonstrations, are you expecting them bigger or anything special? Do you have anything to say, or you're just pushing for everything you can?
I expect that they will grow, because the situation in Germany won't get better if there are not soon changes in the policies also in Germany. So what we are trying to do is also get the people to call for a General Assembly in the United Security Council, and perhaps get the people to call for the new Bretton Woods systems. This would be the next step we could do there in Leipzig, and to get the people behind the idea of getting a new just economic world order and get these ideas implemented in actual policy. So this will be a great challenge for us and the LaRouche Youth Movement to intervene there and to change again the geometry and to lead the people for the good ideas that exist.
That's great. I'll tell all of you, we have a couple updates. Those of you on the panel and those listening, again, this is the LaRouche Show and April 5th, but on what Tomas just mentioned about the possibility that in the United Nations, nations could call for a General Assembly resolution to end the war instead of having things stuck in the Security Council where Britain and the United States are insisting on the war. Here's what we hear. The non-aligned movement, that's several dozens of countries, it's now headed by Dr. Mahathir of Malaysia. We hear that there is going to be some meeting early this week. They may be doing that privately to see what kind of action they could force. And listeners should know that there's a couple of drafts for a resolution in the General Assembly that's circulating among the Arab countries, and I think in the Organization of Islamic Conference Nations. Now, again, the kind of change, creating a climate where this can happen is up to the kind of organizing you all are just describing in France, in Germany, here in the United States, because we don't see that some of the European nations who've spoken out against the war are, however, helping to get things in the General Assembly of the United Nations. We don't know. So let's go back again to any reports on the organizing. That's as much as I know about the motion towards something in the UN General Assembly. People may know, I don't have to take time now, but the precedent for this is back in 1950 and several times since when what was passed, it's called UN 377, where if the Security Council gets stuck and doesn't do its job properly, then the General Assembly can take an initiative. This is what was done in a good way by the United States under Eisenhower when France and England tried to move in and retake the Suez Canal like colonial viceroys, and Eisenhower said, get out. So this time it's in somewhat the reverse, but that's just a small bit of background. I think that anyone else might describe some of the other days of action or even confrontations of the best kind in small groups, say on campuses, with some of these thought police that have tried to prevent any the political activity to organize for a new Bretton Woods, a new world economic growth system. Anyone can chime in at this point. What about, Aaron, do you have anything more in Berlin? I hear you've been confronting some people who are in league with what you could call the chicken hawks philosophically, like Rumsfeld or Cheney. Is that true?
Yeah, sure. We had actually a pretty interesting situation develop over the last couple of weeks when we not so innocently went to intervene on Michael Novak from the American Enterprise Institute, who has played a crucial role over the past 30 years in directly infiltrating any type of link by the Catholic Church to the Pope. I guess there was actually in the 1970s, there was an article that was published in Triumph magazine, you know, very early on about the character of Michael Novak. So he's very well known, and he came here to Berlin. And during our intervention, we had met a young man here who, as we were unraveling this large ball of characters coming out of these Strauss networks, we had found that this young man was you know, kind of groomed from the age he was 16 to be stuck in the crack of these Straussian networks. He went to Princeton. He was whisked off to Claremont McKenna Colleges, which is notorious Straussian school. He then ended up at the AEI, and you know, Karl Rove snatched him up to be an intern in his office for about 6 months, and now he's in Berlin working at the Aspen Institute. So what's significant about this is that he was recruited by a man by the name of Jeff Gidman. And Jeff Gidman in Berlin is very well known, and he is known for his ability to have more influence than even the American ambassador. Jeff Gidman was also involved. He's one of these characters that has been probably directly for the past 6 months organizing actively against us. We have some, you know, hypothesis about what he's actually doing to counter us with a group called the Antifa, which is also in the United States but more prominent here, and also a group called the Anti-Deutsch. And Jeff Gidman and his circles were involved in setting up a conference at the Humboldt University in Berlin, to essentially break up or destroy any discussion that was going to be of historical international importance. So anybody who dares, which happened many times in the past 6 months here in Germany, to discuss Israel, to discuss anything against what Sharon is doing, to discuss anything that has to do with you know, breaking the taboo in Germany of actually saying that attacking anything that Israel is doing, this is unheard of. You could not discuss this here 6 months until we made specific interventions. So the point is that Jeff Gidman is tied up in some very nasty circles. And what we saw with this young man that has been coming around us is that we have such an opening to actually create very soon a situation where even the hand-picked offspring of the enemy is turning to us because the situation is so desperate and we are the only ones telling the truth.
Oh, that's...
So you have a tremendous pressure and a tremendous fight against us undercover here, and we tend to counter it very quickly with what we're doing.
Oh, that's terrific, Aaron. And I have to make some announcements in a minute so about the LaRouche show, but you're busting up the control networks, and it's great here. I'm speaking to everyone from near Washington, D.C., from our studios, to know that no one can sneak over to Europe and get away with it, that you're going to confront them, and vice versa. After we can resume this, I just have to say a few things about the LaRouche show. One thing is, again, we're weekly on the Internet from 3 to 4 in the afternoon Eastern Time every Saturday. And you, anyone listening, if you're listening live April 5th, you can call in toll-free in the United States right now at 866-857-4327. Or you can send an email. You can send it at any time, but if you want some of our youth leaders in Europe and the United States to get it, it's radio at larouchepub.com, radio at larouchepub.com. And any time during the week, if you want more information, especially the material, the pamphlets, we're in a big international distribution campaign of critical material. You'll dial toll-free inside the United States is 888-347-3258. I'll repeat, it's 888-347-3258. And I urge you to look on our The LaRouche Show website. That is www.larouchepub.com. That's LaRouchePub.com. And besides getting the show, look at the Electronic Intelligence Weekly, the EIW, comes out every Monday. You'll get the details because it's critical information that you absolutely must have now. And I conclude this little series of announcements by responding to Aaron Regan, who's talking to us from Berlin, by telling you what's going to be out within, I hope, 10 days to 2 weeks. But the material is being put together by tomorrow, April 6th, for a new, this will be an English language pamphlet and then other languages. It's going to be called something like the Party of the Warhawks, Children of Satan, because it's going to have Lyndon LaRouche's new piece, Rumsfeld as Strange Love 2. It's going to have especially something for the United States called Why the Democratic Party Has Not Functioned During This Crisis by Anton Chaykin. It's going to have something by Jeff Steinberg, who many of you know. It'll be a terrific expose called The Ignoble Liars Behind the Bush-Hawk War Fiasco, the history of their lies and their pedigree, their philosophical pedigree. That's just a little bit. So it's all the more ammunition that we can break up this transatlantic control. Now, I have, before I get to an email, does anyone want to respond to what Aaron was saying about that was going on in Berlin? I mean, because the issue of the Democratic Party in the United States, the international youth movement, has certainly been intervening to force the agenda onto the right track in California and Washington. Sam, or does anyone want to say anything about that, or shall we carry on?
Well, I think, this is Sam in Houston, mind you. The biggest thing is we're able, actually, with the youth movement, which is growing at a rate of speed which our enemies abhor, and they have no idea of how we're recruiting so many people so quickly. And actually, we're able to do exactly what's necessary and what Lynn needs to actually take the White House in 2004 and get the policies that are necessary in place now, which is we're intervening internationally on all flanks, not just one flank. We have the Straussians. We have the different networks inside of France. We have the different networks inside of Germany. Not to forget that we have an entire movement in Ibero-America, which is the biggest flank of all, because LaRouche is known internationally as the only one who's got a solution to this problem, which is the international collapse of the financial and monetary system. And also, when they look and see that the youth movement, number one, that LaRouche has created around, you know, ideas like the fundamental theorem of Carl Friedrich Gauss, which people, when they actually look at it, they wonder, what's the big deal? Why is this so important that you have a youth movement that's actually an intellectual movement around such ideas? What you end up with is the ability, it's not mathematics per se, but it's a physical principle. And the physical principle that the youth movement actually represents is one in which you have multiple multiple manifolds opening up on various fronts in which the financial elite and the different political elite around the world are unable to handle, and shows just, quite frankly, the potency of LaRouche and his movement.
Oh, thanks, Sam. And I have two questions coming in. One is going to be about the Pope from an email, but this pertains to just what you're saying, multiple activities and potentialities. But secondly, on the cultural front, speaking of different manifolds, the so-called cultural front, in last Monday night when Amelia Boynton Robinson spoke, Tomas described this, then instead of a pop star getting up and coming to sing something, so-called peace, that a spiritual was sung. Abdul, do you know, can you tell us more about this?
Well, after Amelia gave her poetic speech about her fight in the civil rights movement around the idea of justice, and she introduced Lyndon LaRouche very poetically. So this man is a scientist, a biologist, an economist, and he's running for the presidency in 2004. Then she paused, and she said, "This man is Lyndon H. LaRouche," and a crowd clapped enthusiastically. It was great. But after that, two guys got up to play We Shall Overcome, the rock remix. And so I decided, with some help from other organizers, to stop the guy from playing the guitar and to introduce Oh Freedom. And me and Amelia, we led the crowd of 60,000 people in this great spiritual.
Oh, that's great, and it sounded good, right?
Yeah, it was, and after that, of course, Amelia's favorite spiritual was This Little Light of Mine. And with everyone holding a candle up at this vigil and Amelia singing this great spiritual, it really moved the masses.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'll just throw in here, if many people do know Oh Freedom, or they know a version, it was you know, spiritual. I have a favorite one from Hampton Institute from 1870, which was taken down when the first students came. And if anyone calls 888-347-3258, I'd like to give it to them. But let any more from Tomas or people in Germany about this process, or from France. Go ahead.
I can also make some announcement of some so-called counter activities after this great event on Monday in Leipzig. On Tuesday morning, some members of the BUSO here in Dresden, they heard a radio broadcast where the mayor of Leipzig was interviewed by the MDR radio and TV channel, and the mayor was asked why he allows that these demonstrations are misused to make commercials and propaganda for this guy LaRouche, who is radical and communist. And it was really, it was interesting, because this, usually you would assume that that this mayor slanders or doesn't counter that announcement of the reporter, but he didn't want to go against LaRouche and didn't slander us. So he just flanked the questions of the reporters, and our idea is to get in contact with the mayor, and perhaps we can also work together with this mayor and make another breakthrough in Leipzig. So we have to flank this also and turn this around into something good.
Thank you. Yeah, and someone else may want to say something along those lines. I also understand that besides the reports we've had from France, Scandinavia, we've had recently a special a school in Copenhagen. Do any of you involved in Scandinavia or Italy, do you want to bring any points up at this time? Maybe you have enough to do in Germany and France, is that right?
Actually, I'll just say one thing that we've had, I'm speaking for Farida from Denmark, but we've had a major breakthrough in Denmark, where there's been many young people, about I think four or five, that are now full time, which Denmark is has been historically somewhat of a small office. And also we had also several Swedish involved in our national or international conference in Bad Schwalbach, and we had one Swedish stay for the Days of Action, as well as participate in the historical event with Amelia. So it's a big breakthrough, and you see the essence of what we're doing, of not just anybody that was involved in Leipzig event, but the essence of what we're doing is growing not only just here, but also in Africa, the people attending in Russia, so on and so forth.
That's good. Thank you very much, Aaron from Berlin. Let me ask, anyone else can speak to this, but in Bad Schwalbach, those of you listening in to this International Youth Panel, this conference, the weekend of the 23rd of March, passed a resolution about the world strategic situation. Is that what, are you distributing that kind of thing throughout Europe? Can you tell us something about the conference, the resolution, and all the nations and so forth? Anyone, please, maybe either from France or Germany. Go right ahead.
Well, we are distributing the resolution yesterday. We got it out all around the parliament in Paris.
Okay.
We had several teams spread out around the government offices. And we basically, I mean, it really goes into the general economic collapse, what needs to be done, and how we've got to stop this war. So we are distributing this all over Paris. We're going to do much more in Rennes and in Lyon and the rest of France. We have some contacts. We're distributing this in the south of France, in the north of France. This is really being spread out, and it's got, and this, I mean, we are distributing this all over the world. And it's very much, it really gets across the emergency of the present situation. And we're going to be going to see mayors around France now with the youth movement. We're going to go and see some senators and deputies as much as they let us see them. But otherwise, we're going to go and see mayors and build a really strong network to support Lynn.
Right. And so this, I'm going to raise a question here if anyone wants to respond to. You've had an email from Melvin. Melvin V. said, because it relates to this, he just tuned in and he heard a bit ago that the Pope was mentioned. And Melvin says, what is the potential of his activation to stop the war? He actually says, in brief, is the Pope viable? Well, meaning, is could this be effective? Apropos of the kind of climate you're creating, does anyone want to respond to this? I can give a briefing a bit in a minute, but what do you think?
I think it's very clear that Lyndon LaRouche and the youth movement of Lyndon LaRouche is having a big impact internationally. And also what Lynn outlined in the briefing today around the question of the Pope taking leadership and mobilizing forces to actually have a resolution to stop this insane war. And clearly at these events that Amelia spoke at in Leipzig, the crowd really got a sense of the civil rights movement and the question of fighting for justice and intervening in, I guess, the strategic political situation that we're in right now. And it was very clear afterward when people ran up to her to say, oh, I love you so much for doing this your whole life and for fighting around this great idea of justice with Lyndon LaRouche, that clearly we're making headway, and it will only get better.
Yes, thank you, Sam. That was Sam in Texas. And we have some more emails. I'm going to say again, you're listening to the LaRouche Show.
It was Abdul.
Oh, Abdul, excuse me. You were the one that was there. I was reading. You just got a message, Abdul, so I was confused. I think I'll give it to you right now, okay? This is from an email from Detroit. It's from Nick. Welcome home, Abdul. On your intervention of beauty at the Leipzig rally, when you, rather than allowing the audience to regress after Amelia's speech, you led the crowd singing "Oh Freedom." Here's the comment from Nick. He says, I know that in myself I've dealt with fear in attempting to intervene at a rally of 10 people. How was it that you were able to accomplish this historic intervention? The youth movement everywhere can be strengthened by your example, and thank you. Do you want to reply to Nick, Abdul?
Well, I would just say that it was the intervention and the follow-up and singing "Oh Freedom." It just, the situation was very, very interesting. And this was very, moving to me and also to the crowd. And with help with other organizers supporting me, I did it. And it was great.
Right. And thank you very much. And also, the former question from Melvin, actually, he was sending it in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Just to underscore what the reports that we're getting from different parts of the world here, you know, you do have certain individuals who are in action, and if the right climate is there, they can become bigger and better than they thought they might also. For example, in Brazil, they have sent envoys to the Pope within the last 7 days. They have sent envoys to Russia. Brazil is a very important country in the world and here in the Americas, our hemisphere, and there are others meeting with the Pope. It isn't as if we have control like strings on a puppet, but if we're creating this climate, the forces can come together, and of course LaRouche is constantly leading initiatives or backing the initiatives that can create a miracle. We can do the impossible and create a miracle. That's one way to think of what can be done. As Lyndon LaRouche said in the last 48 hours, certainly the Pope in this circumstances has especially the authority with a number of nations to create the conditions for, as we were talking about, the General Assembly of the United Nations being a forum in which something can be moved. You can't predict it, it's not mechanical, but we can make it happen. Now I can open up to anyone else. It's the LaRouche Show on April 5th with a terrific panel of transatlantic youth organizers. Otherwise, I have a call waiting from the conference call, I think, from Bob Baker or someone in Detroit, perhaps not Bob Baker, has something they want to say on the line. But does anyone either in Europe or the United States want to add anything here right at this moment?
I would like to say that it's an educating process. We saw that especially in, for the thing in Leipzig. We were in contact with this priest, Christian Führer, for some weeks, and he was a little bit skeptical to announce LaRouche and to bring up the LaRouche youth movement on the stage in Leipzig because he didn't want to get problems, or he just wanted to be neutral. And so the thing was that we sent him letters and faxes where we tried to give him an idea about his position in the universe and to be able and to have the force to change the universe. And so then finally when him was offered to have Emilia there at Leipzig, he was quite aware that she was associated with Lynn LaRouche. And I think this was a beautiful example for a person who grew in his role. And I think this is the thing we have to do with all the people on the street if they have the when they have the feeling, or they say, oh, we can't do anything, and war is we can't stop this war. You have to educate the people and to make them strong and give them hope. And this was a good example that this works, and the result is can be very, very great.
Thank you. I want to ask all the youth panelists, especially some of the returning Americans from Europe, but I guess that's Sam or Abdul, the economic situation. A lot of people you run into, even of any age, or maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just one age or another, can have denial connected to despair about the economic situation. Is there anything you want to say about this, your observations or your impressions or your advice?
This is Samuel in Houston right now.
Thank you.
The biggest thing that I've actually seen talking to, particularly baby boomers, when they're in a situation of denial about the economy, is that they're not really denying it too much to themselves at this point, because most of them have lost their jobs and their insanity does go pretty far. But the situation with the war starting and the fact that you have, you know, young people who are acting in a more adult manner than they are, pretty much shames them, if you're organizing them in the correct manner, into admitting that yes, they know they're in an economic collapse, and yes, they know they have to do something about it, but they don't have any solutions. Much like the president, much like the Congress, they don't have the guts to say that they have a problem. And on top of that, they have no idea what to do. So then when you intervene on them with a sense of, well, I know what to do, and I'm only 20 years old or however old you happen to be, and you say, I know what to do, and it's not a problem of actually implementing any policy, because the policy that LaRouche has been putting forward is the same policy he's been putting forward for almost 40 years now. You have to actually have the American system, which most baby boomers have no idea what that is, the American system of political economy. And when you actually run it down to them, it looks really easy. But the problem that most baby boomers have is they like to tell you what you can't do instead of telling you what you can do. But in an international level, the biggest problem that people have is admitting, number one, they're wrong, no matter where I've been, whether it's in Germany, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Los Angeles or in Houston or San Francisco. It's the same. People don't like admitting they're wrong. But one thing about Americans in particular is that when things get tough and they have to admit they're wrong, they'll change. They might not say it. You may not get them to say, I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. But you can actually get a change in their mind. It's not instant gratification. But as they think about and as they actually witness the atrocities going on within our own government and with this war, they actually come to the conclusion that the only solution is to actually listen to the young people who are going to shame them quite well, actually, into seeing that the solution that must be put forward is going to come from Lyndon LaRouche. And internationally, they recognize this. So why don't they wake up and get out of denial which is not just a river in Egypt, and come swimming with us in the cognitive river of happiness that LaRouche has prepared for them.
Okay, the creative use of shame. I think that's great. Thank you, Sam. And we will go. The guys have someone on the conference call line. And why don't you go ahead and speak up now? Go right ahead and say who you are.
Okay, Timothy from California has a question. Does the youth movement have a website? Maybe somebody could explain that.
Oh, yeah. Go right ahead, someone.
We have a website.
Go ahead. Give it right now.
We have a website. You can witness firsthand our latest intervention in California. Excuse me. This is Aaron calling. This is Aaron from Berlin. And our website is theacademy.in2004.com.
Great.
It's not in 2004, it's Academy 2004.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse
That's
me.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 2004, no N.
Okay, the Academy2004.com.
Yeah, yes. And at this website you can get all of the update briefings, the meetings that we have in Los Angeles every Wednesday and Saturday. You can actually listen to them live, they're broadcast live on this website. We are now putting them on immediately, everything that we do. And we just had an intervention against the Straussians at the University, University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA.
Yeah.
And immediately we were there, and Thomas Bennett and Mr. Woolsey, of the ex-CIA agent, who seems to not remember anything he said about Strauss ever, was confronted by members in L.A., and this is a good way to actually organize people to see, you can see what we're doing, you can hear what we're doing, you can hear the type of classes that we're having that are shaping the geometry internationally and in particular in Los Angeles with ideas. The ideas that are actually shaping a movement that are here to change the geometry of the minds of everyone we come across.
Thanks. Anyone else want to give the highlights on that website or otherwise speak about, Abdul, if you have any observations from Europe in terms of the economic scene or any advice?
Well, one thing, when we were organizing in Leipzig before this intervention at the vigil, a lot of students would come up and say, you know, I know we're in a depression, I don't have a job. It's very clear in Leipzig, I guess in Dresden also, and here in Berlin, that the economic situation is getting worse and that something needs to be done. And a lot of students are responding to Linda LaRouche and the youth movement. And they clearly understand that it's a policy of consumerism and that the policy is coming to an end. I don't know if Thomas wants to say something about that.
I can just underline what you said. And my personal observation is, or experience, when you talk to the people, that they still have in the mind that they're very aware that they're living in a system that can collapse because it happened in '89, and it's not so. So in the East, it's a little bit different than in the West, because in the West the people grew up in the system and they actually don't even realize that they're living in a system. So it's a little bit different situation in the East, and I think this is also the key why the youth movement in the East, and especially in Dresden and Leipzig, is growing that fast, because the people are aware that the system is coming down and there has to be something done. And it's not such a great denial of reality than in the West, as far as I can observe that.
Thanks. And do you find, Rachel in Seattle, you may have been involved besides campuses. I don't know if you've been to the capital of the state or the mayor or the city council. Do you have different impressions here on the economic denial or non-denial?
We've been going to Olympia and Salem state legislatures, yes, and we've had a few continued meetings with legislatures that do acknowledge that the system currently is pretty much finished, and we're working with them on taking the steps of leadership to do that. One of them has said that he's speaking with his colleagues right now and working on bringing LaRouche in. So that's good. And we've also been doing some interventions to Democratic Party meetings and town meetings. And we have been actually being the only voice of calm leadership that we've been getting from LaRouche. And so we're bringing this into these meetings and talking about a real solution, that there's no need for budget cuts. And as a result, we have been getting invited back to almost every speaking engagement.
So that's even some kind of shift itself, you would say?
Definitely, definitely. We have not had this positive reaction before the last few months.
And just to skip around, but in the state of Pennsylvania, Abdul, you're in, speaking from Philadelphia. Of course, you might have been in Europe, but you have been...
I'm still in Berlin.
Oh, I'm making a mistake. In Harrisburg, there's been a big contingent of youth leading the charge there. Do you happen to know about it?
Yes, well, we've been taking over and inundating the state legislature also in Harrisburg. And the responses are like, I guess, everywhere else. The legislators, they don't have any solutions. They rather go with budget cuts than to actually do something that's potent. But a lot of them are waking up to Lyndon LaRouche and his ideas around economic reforms and the New Bretton Woods. And I know a few months ago we had a big rally in the rotunda of the House, and it was great. The responses were great, and we're taking over everywhere. And I know they had this intervention in Sacramento at the, I guess, Democratic Convention, and I guess Sam can say something about that.
Well, this is something that's quite interesting when you actually look at the fact that in Sacramento, we took 86 young people from just from our offices in Los Angeles and Sacramento, or not Sacramento, but San Francisco, to Sacramento to the Democratic State Convention Party. And this is a now famous event, which has been, there's a video that's been floating around of the actual intervention that took place at the Young Democrats meeting that most people have seen. But not to rehash that, but what you actually can look at is the fact that when we actually intervened there, we didn't intervene with anger. We intervened with an idea we want to actually talk about politics, where others were not. And when the very rude so-called young Democrats there continued to be rude and to lie, we actually intervened with Oh Freedom. Once again, this song, I think, internationally will be known as the rally cry of the LaRouche Youth Movement, as it is actually being, we're actually intervening at all of the state youth conventions that we possibly can go to in the states that we are located in. And particularly, we don't go into these meetings to disrupt the meeting. We go into the meeting to discuss politics. And they particularly have a disdain in the so-called Democratic Party of the United States for political discourse. So we go in with a sense of actually intervening in the ideas of, you know, selling pom-poms as they were attempting to do at this Democratic Party meeting in Sacramento. And I hear in Virginia and in another intervention at Howard University, Oh Freedom has become, and looks like also in Berlin with the huge crowd in Leipzig, an actual calling card of the LaRouche Youth Movement of actually using classical music and beauty to intervene on a very ugly culture with a beautiful idea of solidarity around ideas. And that's how we've been intervening consistently, not just in Sacramento, but internationally, with a sense of we have this idea of artistic beauty that Schiller says is necessary in times of crisis.
Thank you very much, Sam. And our time is ticking away, and I will put a plug in for the LaRouche show that's going to come up. I think it's April 19th. Check your website. And it's going to address why classical art is essential to end war and have economic development. And it's going to feature Robert Beltran, the actor and director who's been working in Shakespeare and other classics out in Los Angeles with the youth movement. Listen again to the LaRouche Show every Saturday, 3 p.m., and thank you. Goodbye.